Okay, we are up to Perek Yud Beis. We are up to Shevet Yisachar. We are this Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We are discussing all the people, giving a list of the Shvatim and the numbers of the participants in the ceremony of appointing David HaMelech as king over, anointing David HaMelech as king over the entire Klal Yisrael. So we went through last week, the whole collection of Shvatim and their representatives. We start with Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Shimon, and we work through the Levim, the Nagid, Yehoyada HaKoyin, and who he brought. We mentioned Tzadok, Binyamin, Ephraim, Menashe. We mentioned Menashe. He is the only one who has the expression of Laham Lechestavid. And we also took note of how each one of the Shvatim is described a little bit differently. Their role in war. There's a different expression of Chalutzei Tzava. Some Shvatim, there's no mention of the fact, no mention that they actually participated in war at all. Levi, we learned, doesn't say anything about war. We discussed the issue: were they dressed in their military uniform, or were the people dressed in their dress uniform, and they just came to or represent their Shvatim? But now we come to Yisachar. There's a very, very famous pasuk. And b'nei Yisachar yodevina lo'itim, that from the children of Yisachar who are knowledgeable of understanding. That's a very unique expression. We have different expressions. We have chaneinu me'itcha deya bina ve'haskel. If you daven nusach svard, chaneinu me'itcha chochma bina v'do'as. So there are different expressions, but you would assume that each one is a different concept. What each one means, it's not, depends on their different interpretations. That's why Nusach Svar, Nusach Ashkenaz, different understanding. According to Nusach Ashkenaz, we start with Das, Deya, Bina, Vehaskel. So we assume that Das is a very basic, elementary form of intelligence, which of course is unique to human beings. So then comes Bina. Bina is a deeper level. Maven Davar, Mitoch Davar, to take different concepts and compare one to the other and to bring out Chidushim. And then comes Seichel, which is even a deeper level of understanding. Bina is to deduce. According to one interpretation, Hashem gave Nashim Bina Yisera. And then there is Seichel. It's another form of understanding. These are different opinions. But here what's unique is Yodei Vina. That in this pasuk we note that Yisachar, it's not just a group of people that have Das and Bina. There are people who are Yodei Vina. The Das serves as a mishores to the Bina. The Bina is elevated on a platform, and they are Yodei Vina Lo'itim. So I don't know exactly the significance of that combination, but it's definitely something which is unique, and it's not the way we are familiar with in our Nusach HaTfilah, where each one is considered to be a separate item. Lo'itim, for the times. Now, what does that mean? Let's just go. Then the next words are Lodas Mayase, you show what they should do. So we have here, well, let's read the entire pasuk. Rashehem, Mosayim, their heads were 200. V'chol acheihem alpiem, and all of their brethren came at their directive. So it's interesting, before we go back and discuss the concept of what it means, Yodei Bina Le'itim, Mayase Yisrael, but the numbers are very small relative to all the other Shvatim. They only sent 200. Can that possibly be? Only 200 people came. Some of the other Shvatim, they have 40,000 from Asher, Dan at 28,000, Naphtali 38,000. Everyone has these massive numbers. Binyamin only sent 3,000. And we learned because most of them were still loyal to Shaul. But how could it be that Yisachar only has 200? Exactly. So that's something that appears to be that everyone else was so loyal to. When it comes to the other Shvatim, each person was an independent person. 40,000 people in Asher. So again, this is just a one approach. There are other approaches. Not everyone agrees with this idea that Asher, when there were 40,000 people, everyone, you couldn't tell a person what to do. Okay, certainly they have Rabbanim, they have leaders, but every individual maintained their individuality, their own mind. Yisachar, the people were so loyal The Hamoinam, the multitude, they were so loyal to their leaders. If the leader said to go, you go. 20,000 people right there with this one leader. It's like Hasidim. Not all groups of Hasidim are like this, but exactly. There are certain groups of Hasidim. When the Rebbe says something, you don't think. The Rebbe tells you what to do, and you follow him in blind faith. So it appears, is that approach correct? Well, it depends, and not for everyone, obviously, not for the vast majority of Klal Yisrael. They don't have blind faith in anyone. You don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. I'm my own person, my own thinking mind. Rav Soloveitchik was very big into this. Rav Soloveitchik was very into the notion that you have to be your own person. Hamidu talmidim harbe. Hamidu means let them stand on their own. Rebbe is not just a person who you give him the phone number and the Talmud calls up every 5 minutes. What should I do? You figure it out. And don't worry, if you have the tools, the background, and the training, you will have the siyata d'shmaya to make a correct and informed decision. So it appears we do have over here some precedent for this difference, this diversity in Klal Yisrael between different shvatim. Some shvatim, members of the shevet, were more independent of their leaders, and other shvatim, seemingly Yisachar, very big Talmidei Chachamim, there was faith in their leaders. Tremendous faith, and that's why it says once we had these 200 people, Rashayim, their heads were Mosayim, V'chol Acheihem Alpim. It doesn't matter the numbers. It doesn't matter if there were 50,000, 100,000. If the 200 leaders said to go, that was it. They all went.
Quality over quantity.
This was, I don't know if you can say quality. You can't say that.
It's like the brain trust.
It's a different approach. It's a different approach that we see today, different groups in Klal Yisrael. In some groups, especially by Hasidim, there's a Rebbe, and when the Rebbe says something, every one of the Hasidim are expected to have blind faith, no matter what. And you ask the Rebbe every question under the sun. I'll tell you a good joke. This is a great, great, great line. I just saw this past Shabbos in Ami magazine, in one of the Kamenetsky, by Kamenetsky. So he says, I don't think it's a true story, but it's a really good story anyway. There was a Rebbe, the Rebbe died, and he was Moirish, bequeathed his Malchus of thousands of Hasidim to his 9-year-old son. He left over a 9-year-old Yosem, an orphan. So the orphan became the new Rebbe. So the Hasidim have to have faith in their Rebbe. So the 9-year-old Rebbe is sitting there, a little kid. They put him on the Shtreibel and the Bekesh, and he's sitting there by the Tish. And he has thousands of Hasidim coming to listen to the 9-year-old kid. First problem. Someone walks in, Rebbe, I have a big problem. My wife is in labor. Okay, what does a 9-year-old kid know about his wife being in labor? Is in labor for over 24 hours. And it's sakonis nefashos. And the doctors don't know what to do. And this is primitive. This is, ancient times. They don't have all these high-tech procedures and surgeries and so on and so forth. What should I do? So the new 9-year-old Rebbe says, let me think. I'll tell you what. Say Yizkar. Say Yizkar. They look at this 9-year-old kid, you meshuga? Say Yizkar? What does the Yizkar have to do with labor? Say Yizkar. No, he's the Rebbe. The 9-year-old Rebbe, you have to have blind faith in the Rebbe. So they say Yizkar. And suddenly the baby comes out. They come back to the Rebbe. Rebbe, you're a Bal Moifes, 9-year-old. You're really a Bal Moifes. How could this be? How did you know to say Yizkar? It's very simple. I'm only 9 years old. Every year I go to shul with my father. And it comes Yom Tov. They give a clap on the tish. Yizkar. And then the Gabbai says, Kinder Arois. So I know if you say Yizkar, the Kinder Arois.
By the way, I remember the present Stalin Rebbe took over as a little kid. They
yes.
The Rebbe at the age of around 9 or 11.
Yeah. Okay, but I don't think...
They groomed him,
right. The Belzer Rebbe also.
The
current Belzer Rebbe also took over when he was very, very young. Was he even married? The Munkach also.
No, but this was, the Stalin was a little kid.
Yeah. They groomed him. It was also, it was different times because it was after the war.
and they were rebuilding Hasidus. It was today, if something like that would happen, Chas v'Shalom, I don't know if they would do something like that. It was different times.
They find a son-in-law.
It's a different year. It's or long lost, you know, some relative down the line.
Who made decisions in the meanwhile?
What?
He didn't make. There was a brain, like you said. There was a brain trust there, giving him advice.
It was different times. After the war, there wasn't really much left. You have to look at the big picture. Okay, but I definitely feel that this is a very powerful concept here that's brought out in this Parakid days. You look at the numbers, the coming to be Malmuch David, every Shevet has a significant group that represents them. Even the smallest, Binyamin. And even though it's only 3,000, the Pasuk apologizes. You know why only 3,000? Because most of the people, they're still loyal to Shaul. Shaul just died. Shaul has a son, Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth died. They're still dealing with the tragedy of the loss of their king, of their tribe. But every other tribe, big numbers. Yisachar? No, 200 people. Who are the 200 people? They're the Roshehem, Mosayim, the Cholacheim Alpihem. It's a different structure of leadership, a different form of leadership. Diversity in Klal Yisrael, the diversity that we have today is nothing new. This goes back thousands of years and can be traced into these psukim hidden away here in Divrei Hayom. Etim? Okay, yeah, now let's come back to this. Okay, let's come back to Etim. So let's first look at Rashi and the Mitzudos. What exactly, how do they translate these words? And there are quite a number of Midrashim. It's a very popular pasuk Lamed Gimel. Let's first see Rashi. Rune Yisach Yodi Ivinu Leitim Sheyoidim Lo Seis Eitza Lithi Ho'inyin Shel Hamase. That you have to know what to do. In other words, you have a dilemma in life. Should I go to this yeshiva? Should I go to this yeshiva? Should I marry this girl? Should I marry that girl? Should I take this position? Should I take this position? What should I do? That's how le'ita means the time, not a halachic issue, not an issue of to figure out if we should make it leap year, not a leap year, astronomical calculations. This is just very simple to guess an eitzah. I have a question, I have a dilemma in life. It's not a matter of halacha. In halacha, I can do whatever I want. There is no issue of halacha. And I just don't know what to do. I need someone that has seichel hayosha. So you say, why do you go to a Talmud Chacham? So that's all the concept. This is already becoming, in this generation, a very controversial concept called Das Torah. Das is a very controversial concept. Remember we had a discussion, when did this term come into existence? When did this term come into existence? What's the earliest source? But basically it means that a person that's fully immersed, the concept, the way it's, at least I understand it, is a person, a real, not just make-believe, but a person that's really the real deal, fully immersed in learning Torah. A person has absorbed and has toiled in Torah to such a degree, he becomes like a living Torah. His mind is influenced. The person that sits and watches television the whole day, when he has this question in life, he's going to think differently. You're influenced by your environment. You're influenced by the people that you associate with. A person that learns and is immersed in Torah's entire life, when you ask him a question, should I buy Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? So his mind thinks differently. His mind will think differently, and he will give you an answer based upon the influence of Torah. Now, that's a hard concept for many people to grasp. Not everyone likes that.
He has to have secular knowledge, too.
Absolutely, of course. We're dealing with a person, that's a given. We're dealing with a person that knows what Diet Pepsi is, he knows what Diet Coke is. He's read everything there is to read like an average person. He has the same background as everyone else. Absolutely. I'm not dealing with a scientific question, a medical question. You go to a doctor, you don't have the medical background, and you have no business talking about it. Talking about a person that does have all of the background. I'm not talking about American Rabbonim telling you what to do in Eretz Yisrael. They never spend a day in Eretz Yisrael. They're American citizens. They're not Israeli citizens. They don't really understand the culture. They don't understand what's going on. It's not really their place to go tell you what to do in Eretz Yisrael issues. I'm dealing with a real situation where you have the full background like every other person. You've gone through the system, you know the issues, and it's just a matter of opinion. It's al tam v'reach ein l'hispakeach. Everyone has a different opinion. So you want to ask this person's opinion. Okay, that's a valid opinion. You want to see what this person has to say because this person is coming from a different background. He is fully immersed in Torah. The whole day his mind is thinking about Torah. Yeah.
The language it uses is understanding the times.
Right.
So it's not somebody who's immersed
in Torah. But you saw, yeah.
It's understanding what's happening today.
Yeah, but who we deal with? We're dealing with Yisachar. We're dealing with Yisachar. Shevet Yisachar.
The language it uses.
Yeah. They have understanding of the times. Where does that understanding come from? Okay, I'm not saying, I'm just trying to elaborate a little bit on Rashi, why this was unique according to Shevet. We know that Yeshevet Yisachar, we are absolutely certain, they were the exceptional Talmidei Chachamim. That's Chazal, Roivet, Spain, HaMishpasayim, Yisachar, we know that from Chazal. They were, Vayar Menucho, Ki Tov, Yisaret, Ki Noema. We know that Yisachar were Talmidei, and yet we also have about Yisachar this concept, Yod Eivina. They have knowledge of understanding, Lo'itim. Now, what does it mean, Lo'itim? Lodas Mayasa. I'm just reading words of Rashi. In Echonami, there are many approaches. Rashi says what it means, Lo'itim, doesn't mean, it means, one more time, Shayoidim, they know, Lo'seis Eitza, to give counsel, Lefi Ho'inyon, based upon the issue.
I think the word missing here is, Lo'itim is the conditions.
Inyin means you know the Inyin. I mean, of course.
You know, Lo'itim could mean the conditions.
Okay, they are the conditions. Okay.
Situation.
Shel Maaseh, and then he applies this to David. Shetzorich David lisyaitz. Even David needs to consult. These were his top advisors. David had advisors. Believe it or not, David with Ruach HaKodesh. David had Ruach HaKodesh, who composed most of Tehillim. And we have all these psukim, all these incredible midrashim. He was a navi. David was nothing less than a navi. He's one of the prophets. Yet there are times when he did not have prophecy, it appears, and he needed to make decisions, and they had to guide him. They knew what to do. And who did he select to be his decision makers? Yisachar. They knew what to do. Now, it's interesting how Rashi puts a twist on this. Why did Rashi have to conclude? Because of Bnei Shaul. Obviously, maybe it means over here that at this point in time, at this particular point in time, the major issue was, I have over here Bnei Shaul. They are not happy with my appointment. I'm an outsider. I'm usurping the throne. I'm not part of the family. How to deal with them? That was the issue at this particular time. Rashi adds that in, which is very interesting because you would think, you know, David, a long malchus ahead of him, 33 years of wars going forward. This became bygone. This became, you know, this was over, long done with. Very quickly, the issue of Shaul's children. Okay, but this is how Rashi seems to teach, Lefi ho'inyin shel ma'aseh, you have to deal with issues. And not everyone goes to with that approach. Let's look over here, of the Mitsudos. He has a whole different chazal. This is a very popular in the Gemara, this approach. Yodei vino le'itim. What does it mean, itim? Itim means ace. It means the seasons, astronomical calculations. Should we add a day to the month? Should we not add a day? Should we add a month to the year? Yes or no? Yodei hamaskilim, there are luminaries. Likboa itim ladas malyasei shlobatzolema hima kavu hachadoshim. They establish the new months. The avru hashanim kain omru rabbi seinu zechonim levracha oirot zolaymar. War. Not exactly what Rashi says. Similar to Rashi, to know, should we go to war? Should we not go to war? How should we go to war? What should be our strategy? Should there be diplomacy? Should there be... we should take the initiative? All different techniques. Or be on the defense. These are similar to what Rashi says. The Yodea vina le'itim lodas mayase Yisrael. Okay, then they are limited to some of the Midrashim. The Midrashim says the Midrash says, and this is not a Midrash, this is a Gemara Masechta Yoma. Yoma yodei vina ela omar rava lo mishkachas tzumim rabbanim demorei. This refers only specifically to Torah. You'll only find the Talmud Chacham at a zocha to hoira. There are many. Shalom Aleichem. Good to see you. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem, you look very good. Good to see you. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so we have over here another interpretation. This is a very big thing today. There are a lot of Talmidei Chachom out there, but very, very few have the Siyata Deshmaya to be Poiskim, to be Lori Hoira. In fact, what I want to do with you, I just got the Sefer. I was fascinated by the Sefer. I want to just begin to go over some of the Inyanim, making of a halachic decision. Brand new, hot off the press. By Moshe Walter. I don't know who he is. I went through part of the Sefer. I just wanted to begin today, later in the third session, to touch upon some of the issues. The making of halachic decision, this is, you know, people can spend their whole lives learning. But to have the koyach to pasken a halacha, it's a very unique talent. And it only comes with siyata shmaitza, the highest level of learning, as I'll say. La'asuke shmaitza, aliba dehilchasa. To come to a halachic conclusion according to the halacha. There are many people that learn, koilel, and the whole world. The confidence, but it's also a certain chush. And it's also a certain siyata d'shmaya. Doeg ha'adoimi. Doeg was terribly jealous of David. Why was Doeg so terribly jealous of David? Doeg was even a greater Talmud Chacham than David, Chazal say. Because Doeg was unable to paskin a halacha. Whenever there was a shayla, he was mefalpa. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. And he just couldn't hit the nail on the head. You can be brilliant in all of these inyanim, but it's a certain why. It's Yerushalayim. It's real. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives siyat Shmai to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to succeed in.
Knowledge would not be able to.
Yes, absolutely.
I know someone like that
is a Rav. Okay, you don't know this person at all. It's not from this community. And someone once complained to me about him. This issue. He can't paskin. I go to him for a shayla. And he just can't paskin.
He may not want to paskin.
That's another issue. There are people like that also. There are many people. There are many people like that. They right away say, I'm not a paisik, I have a shayla. There are certain, like, there are many rabbanim, most rabbanim are like that. I mean, today everything, Baruch Hashem, is standardized. Okay, we have an art scroll, and they'll tell you basically A, B, C, D, what to do. When there's a difficult shayla, so most rabbanim will say there are certain experts, Baruch Hashem, there are certain people that have expertise in certain areas of halacha, in life and death issues, end of life issues, avelus issues, issues of child. Everyone has their different expertise. So many rabbanim will say, you know, these are the basic halachas. When you hire a rav today, most rabbanim, you don't expect them to be the biggest pesik hadar. You expect them to know the basic things, hilcha shabbos, hilcha avelus. And when there's a very difficult question, you're hiring a rav. You hope he has access to the major league poskim, and he will find out the answer for you in a very difficult, unique type of question. But what about? So you go, this certain Rav, you go to him with a good, tough question, and he wants to paskei. I always got this sense. He wants to tell you the answer, but he keeps on talking in circles. He's not afraid, he's
giving you all the background.
Tremendous Talmud Chacham. He's an awesome, like one of a kind. But he just can't hit the nail on the head. It's very interesting. He's frustrated. You sense the frustration when you ask him the shayla. The other Rabbanim, they just say, I don't know the answer, I'll find out for you, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. Or, they know the answer, I'll look it up. He is groping to tell you the answer, and then he says, like this, like this, like this, and you walk away more confused.
Choose one.
What?
Method of learning.
Yeah, so that's what he discussed. That's what the whole sefer is all about. It's a fascinating sefer. I want to go through some of the issues. Not really today. Today just a little bit. But I want to just discuss with you the method of the Rif, the Rosh, the Rambam, the Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the Mechaber, the Ramah. It's very, very interesting. There's a method. There is a method to it. There are certain guidelines. But of course, there are things which are. You need special siyata d'shmaya, and here this is where the Gemara comes into play. The Gemara says there are only two shvatim that have this gift of hoira, and they are Levi and Yisachar. And the Gemara says, Gemara Masechta Yoma, Amar Rava lo mishkachas suba mirabonim demore. You will not find a Talmud Chacham. We're dealing over here with Talmudim. We're not dealing over here with ordinary people. We're dealing here with extra special people. Talmudim Chachamim demore. Ela the asim shevet Levi. Oy mishevet Yisachar. Levi dechsev yoyru mishpatecha liyachav. An explicit pasuk. Yoyru, they will teach. They will instruct. Mishpat liyachav. Yisachar dechsev. This pasuk here, the Gemara quotes this pasuk. Our pasuk here in Divrei Hayamim. Umivne Yisachar yoydei vina laitim lodas mayase. To know what to do in halacha. I have a shaila. I have a question. Is the meat kosher or not kosher? That LA scandal. Erev Pesach. What a story. All the magazines wrote up. The whole thing. All the halachic details. What went into the shop. Most people don't have no clue to what the shaila is all about. And why the halacha is its mutter. In LA, Erev Pesach. What Erev Pesach? There was a shaila. The whole LA buys basically from two stores, two distributors, and it's Erev Pesach. Everyone already has cooked all the dish, all their food, everything is ready to go, and now it's Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Guess what? One of the major distributors has been caught red-handed selling mamish treif. Well, that's the question. Not mamish, but treif food.
It was non-glot.
Oh, that's the question. Non-glot. So, what?
A couple of years ago.
We had it all
about
every J. Right, I know, but it wasn't Erev Pesach Mamish.
No, but
it wasn't Erev Pesach Mamish. Kash, right. So here we're dealing with Erev Pesach.
What happened with Matzah very recently?
Was.
There's always scandals, exactly. So you need. He's dealing here.
Muncie was tired.
There are always scandals, don't worry. Lo yechdal evyon nikerev haaretz. There'll always be scandals. But you're dealing over here with major league issues. You're dealing over here with people throwing out all their pots and their china and their whole older meals. You need people that have the siyata d'shmai to pass the halacha. And who are they? Lodas ma yaseh. It is such a bracha to have a person that you can go to, that is reliable, that can tell you what to do. Lodas ma yaseh. And that's the pasuk here. So this is the pasuk, the bracha that was given to Yishmael. So sach hakol, what do we have? Yisachar, to Yisachar. Yeah.
It was a problem here also with Erev Pesach.
Yeah.
Some kind of oil or something.
Okay, there are always problems. There are always alerts, cashless alerts, products. Look, it was a very fascinating shot with matzah.
When the Moshe passed away,
the oil, the vinegar. I remember that, the vinegar. All the mustard and the cat, all these things was Mamish treif, the vinegar. I told you before, Pesach, there's a very interesting shaila with matzah, with 18-minute matzah. So most Ashkenazim, not that long, about a few weeks ago, the shiurim of how long it takes for dough to become chametz. The amount of time to walk a mil, so how long does it take to walk a mil? The Gemara doesn't give numbers. To walk a mil. So some walk slow, some walk fast. So al pi halacha, what is the zmanim? So it ranges 18 to 24 minutes. So most of us, by and large, in this community, we wait 18 minutes. 18 minutes is the amount of time that we in halacha accept it takes to walk a mil. Therefore, after 18 minutes, any dough that remains becomes chametz. So the matzah baking factories, after 18 minutes, the shift is over. From the time they begin to knead the dough, the flour with the water, until they shut down the production is exactly 18 minutes. You chaperayim. Now, do you realize if you can keep the process going for another 5 minutes, and once you get going, you can make $1 million in 5 minutes? It's a tremendous nisayon to stop the machines after 18 minutes, because once you build up the momentum, just keep on going. It's so much easier to get through those another couple of minutes. So indeed, Lubavitch, they follow the opinion, Shulchan Aruch Harav, that it's 22 minutes to walk a mill. Takes 22 minutes. So what do they do in some matzah baking factories? They go 22 minutes after, and they separate the matzahs from 18 minutes to 22 minutes. Anything that they complete before 18 minutes is put aside, and they keep on going. They keep on going another 4 minutes, and anything that they make in those 4 minutes, which is a massive amount because they build the momentum, is shipped off to Lubavitch. Because Lubavitch told that it's 100% fine. So what happened? Some of the matzahs got mixed up. And they only found out about this achar hamais, after people already had purchased the matzah. So here you have a litvak, okay, a misnagid, has in his house matzah. Can very well be the matzah is 21 minute matzah. And according to this person's messiah, his father, his grandfather, his great grandfather, after 18 minutes, it's chametz gomor. Not chametz gomor, but it's chametz. Chametz, you can't say chametz gomor. So what do you do? Okay, it's another scandal. Who are you going to ask these shilas to? These are tough, tough shilas. These are not easy shilas to answer. And you really need to have bizarcha, generation bizarcha, to have poskim to tell you lodas mayase. And here the pasuk, the Gemara says, the only two shvatim they can have this gift, siyata d'shmaya, shevet Levi, yoyru mishvatecha liyakov, yisocha lodas mayase. I don't know. I really don't know. I read about the Shilin and probably in a magazine. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know what they did. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really don't know. But it's tough, tough Shilin. Okay. So Sach HaKol, what do we take out of this pasuk? We take out of this pasuk. The bottom line is we take out of this halacha. Okay, one of the quick thing. Omar Chonin. One other interesting idea from the Sifrei in Bamidbar. The Sifrei says why was Shevet Yisachar, did they merit this tremendous gift of Lodas Mayase Le'itim? So you have to know the significance, because it was one of the members of their tribe, Nisanel ben Suar, who advised all of the Shvatim to give wagons as a gift for the Mishkan. When they built the Mishkan, they needed wagons, they needed transportation, they needed some carriers, airline carriers, to transport the Kelim, the Beis Hamikdash, in the Midbar. So the Nesim were groping, what should we give? What could we possibly give the Beis HaMikdash? It's always a big challenge. We want to give a gift, right? So cash is always good. But if you want to give, in addition to cash, you want to give something that has meaning, it's a tremendous challenge. Who came up with the solution to give wagons? One of the members of the tribe of Yisachar. In reward for his idea, I don't know what this means. You have to dig deep into the deeper meaning of this medrash. His shevet was always given the bracha lodas mayase. They'll always know what to do for klalis. Whenever klalis will have a dilemma, they'll have a shaila, whether it's halacha, whether it's the astronomical calculations, whether it's going to be the other interpretation. They will be the ones that will know what to do, because one of their members worked very, very hard to come up with an idea. What the Nesim, the gift the Nesim should give to the dedication of the Mishkan. So you see, giving good advice, it's a very interesting thing in life. You see it in your own life, that when you have a dilemma, you don't know what to do. Someone that can really give you an Eitzah, it's a gem. It's a real, you take it for granted. Yeah, you need. It's not something to take for granted when you have a person that you can go to and can tell you what to do. Okay, so let's continue. So let's just review. The bottom line over here is we have over here three talk away from this pasuk with three ideas. What does it mean? Le'itim lodas mayase. Either it means, according to Rashi, in Eitzah Tova. Rashi learns specifically the question at hand at this point in time was what to do with the Bnei Binyamin, the children of Yishmo, children of Shohol, how to deal with them. And the larger picture, you need people to know how to give Eitzah. Rashi says in entirely different interpretations that you need people to know when to be Ma'aber the Shana, when to be Mechadesh Chodoshim, when to add a day, when not to add a day, when to make a leap year, when not to make a leap year. And the third interpretation of the Gemara is you need Talmidei Chachamim to issue Hoyrah for Klal Yisrael in difficult halachic situations. Okay, let's go further. Pasik. Mem Lamed Aleph Mizvulon. Now we go to Shevet Zvulun. Zebulun, we know, was the partner of Yisachar. They supported Yisachar. Yoytzei Tzavos, here we have a new description for the memory. Every time we mention one of the Shvatim who was part of the military, we have always a new description. They have a very elaborate description of the role of Yisachar. The Yoytzei Tzava, they go out to war. Orchei Milchama, they arrange Milchama. They strategize. They plan. Orchei means to arrange. We'll see in the Rashi. Rashi has two interpretations. B'chol klei Milchama. Okay, they're not limited. The other, Shvatim, they have carry shields, spears, bows, arrows. Each one of the Shvatim had a different expression. Here, Zevulun. Okay, it's interesting because we associate God with the big warriors. They were mighty, they were very powerful. But Zevulun, they knew how to operate all different types of machinery, all different types of weapons. B'chol klei Milchama. How many? A large group. Chamishim Aleph, 50,000. And here we have a very unusual word. V'la'ador. V'la'ador means to, now we'll see what that means. We'll translate it now loosely as the Mitsudos translates it, to arrange war. V'la'ador below lev vole. That's a very unique and interesting expression, without being double-minded. They were decisive. Okay, they didn't waver. They didn't vacillate. They were not indecisive. Beloy lev lev. Some people can't make a decision in life. They have two hearts. I have a heart that tells me we should do this, a heart that says we should do this, and you go back and forth, what should I do? Make a decision! Zevulun were very clear. They were decisive. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. They did not have a double mind. Beloy lev lev. And in the context of this pasuk, the way I saw some of the farshim learn with regard to David, they were 100% loyal to David. No questions. No wavering. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe we should try to appease the B'nai Shaul. No. B'loy lev lev, they came out. The word b'loy lev similarly is going back.
Whether they intended or they didn't intend, they were successful.
They went forward. So let's see over here the Mitzudas and we'll see Rashi. The Mitzudas of Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph says b'loy lev lev, b'ol arich milchama. The way the Mitzudas learns this in reference to war. When they're not to go to war, b'lochama b'avuroi, for David, when they went to fight on behalf of David, b'lev of Sholem. They went to fight them with a full heart. V'loy bo l'arich b'lei v'lei. They didn't go off fight with him. Maybe, yeah, we should fight, we shouldn't fight, we're going to rebel, we're not so sure. It's such a good idea to disengage. The soldiers went, you give us a role? That's the most important thing in the military, to follow orders. If you can't trust your soldiers to follow orders, that's why the whole army today in Eretz Yisrael, they're going crazy, because the soldiers, some of them are rebelling. They have a religious soldier, and he tells you, well, the Torah says different. I'm not so sure that my commander was right. You know, you got a big problem on your hands. You got a major problem. That's not the way you fight wars. That's what it says there. V'loy, these words have so much more meaning when you look at different things that have happened in recent times in the news. It's deception. A double heart means, if you have a double heart, it means you're deceiving the person. You're not sincere. V'chein b'lev v'lev, yidabir into hillim, al shem shnira ki ilu b'dabir yoseh b'shlichu slev, ha v'lev ha'acher ba'alimo, v'chu ini malitza, but the person that you piv v'liboy are not shavim. You make believe that your heart is with the person, that you and you say that you're with the person, but in truth, your heart is not with the person. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi explains v'la'ador. What does mean la'ador? Loshon idur mamish, arrangements. V'chol ha'orim asher b'ma'ader ya'adeirun. It means arrangements. Formation. They went out to war in perfect formation. That's another, yeah?
Don't we say, I think, edrage zone?
Right, a group, a flock of sheep. Excellent, that's how they connect this word. A flock, a formation. And according to Rashi's first interpretation, it means it's describing the way they went to war. When they went out to war, they went out in formation. It wasn't guerrilla warfare. They went out like the ancient, old-time Romans and battalions. information. What? Right. It's an art of war. Not like modern times. Modern times, it's guerrilla warfare where you go in camouflage and you hide and all these high-tech things. That's how Rashi's first interpretation. It's describing the way they fought. The mountains are in formation. They stood out there in war, in the arrangement of formation of battalions in war. The Yesh Mefarshim doesn't mean necessarily they actually form war. They strategized. The Yesh Mefarshim doesn't mean they mamish in formation. They were the team of advisors. They gave the classes in West Point. They were the professors. They were the professors in the Defense Department. They were the ones that were deciding on budgets, deciding on where the battalion should go. If we should fight, we should not fight. It doesn't necessarily mean they were hands-on in battle, but they were behind the scenes. So two interpretations, v'la'adar, arrangements, or la'aroich, a new translation that means to arrange, and that's indeed how the Mitsudos Tzion learns, like Rashi's second interpretation. Okay, then we have this expression, b'loy lev alev, mefurish b'bereshes rabba, v'chein b'mischavein, b'mischavein, shlo b'mischavein, ha'yumenatz, also he's quoting a medrash. Rashi here is going to his midrashic leanings, and he's quoting an incredible medrash. Let me read you what it says about Zevulun. This medrash appears in Vayikra Rabba. What does it mean? Lev, lev is a tanchuma. Call Amar Rebbe tanchuma. Call me shiyotze laderech ve'enav mechavin libo lamulchama soif shu noifel b'mulchama. If you're driving and you're not paying attention, you can get into an accident. Right? That's the way it is. You gotta pay attention. Be alert. That's when you go to war, certainly. If you're not paying attention, you'll get killed. That's the way it was for every member of Klal Yisrael and every Shevet. Zevulun had a special bracha that didn't have to pay attention. Siyat HaShemaya. They go out to war and they shoot a gun and the enemy dies. That's how it goes. That's what it says. If you're not paying attention, you're going to die. That's the way it is. Avol shivta shel zvulun. The tribe of zvulun, bein mischavein, bein she'enoi mischavein, they're not paying attention. And they win. No GPS, you drive, and you'll get there. Somehow the car will get you there. This is the pasuk. They call from this incredible pasuk. From Zvulun, those who go out to war, who arrange the war, they succeed no matter what. Israel, there's a certain person, a very famous person. He said about his father. When his father got a car, he was petrified to go with his father in the car. Because his father would just, he would drive without looking. He would go into another lane, never would look. He was by the curb. He was parked. And like, just totally oblivious to the world. And yet, his father never got into an accident. So, what? No, he never. He used to tell me this. He couldn't believe it. His father would drive the most irresponsible things. He's petrified, but he always, nothing ever happened. He drove a lot, and nothing ever happened to him. It's mamish what it says here. Beloy levelev. There are certain people, they have this siyata deshmaya. They're totally oblivious to the world. They go out, they do the strangest things, and nothing happens to them. It's like out of a movie. Nothing happens to them. That's the bracha that Zevulun had. It's a Farish Chazal. It's a Farish Rashi. Rashi quotes it here. Beloy lev lev. Even not mischaven, you'll be okay. Yeah, don't try this at home. Don't assume you're from Shevet Zevulun.
Don't push it.
Don't push it, but it's definitely something very, very interesting bracha. You look here at these psukim, you learn a lot of very, very interesting things. Okay, let's go further. Let's finish up. We're not moving off Tali. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Now we're finishing up Naftali. Naftali has sent 38,000 people. Naftali, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Naftali, Sodim Olaf. He sent 1,000 princes, Vimohem, Bitsino, Vachanis, see different descriptions, and with them, with the princes, there was Sodim, a whole different hierarchy, a whole different. Yeah, we had Sodim, but I don't necessarily have people. We have a whole different type of Shevet. Each Shevet was very unique. A lot of us, we have this image, the whole class is all the same. Everyone was the same, just you come from this Shevet, that Shevet. There can be nothing further than the truth. Every Shevet had a very distinct identity. They look different, they dress different, they behave different, they had a whole different way of life. And you see here, it's amazing, they're coming here to coronate David, and they're all appearing with these different expressions of how they look, how they come. Have this one has sarim, this one has a nogid, this one has 200 roshehem, and everyone just follows behind them. Everyone is very unique. And what do they come with? Tzino v'chanis, with shields and spears. Shloshim v'shiva, all of 37. That's 37 plus the 1,000. Sarim, for a grand total of 38,000 people were there to represent Shevet Naphtali in David's coronation. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Umin Hadoni. Now we come to Shevet Don. Don is always the Ma'asef L'chol HaMachnois. He always the last. But that's at least on this side of the Arden, at least on the west side of the Arden. Orchei Milchama. So again, we have this expression we had before. I guess Rashi would have the same two translations. I'm sorry. Here it's Orchei. Before it said Odrei. La'ador b'loy le'evelev. Here it's actually the word orchei melchama, to arrange war.
Rashi said
orchei, right? So why then the two different words? Why the change of expression? There it's b'loy le'evelev. Okay, there must be some nuance, some different. But here it's explicitly orchei melchama. Eshem b'shmoin all of 28,000 v'sheishmos and 600. U'mi'asher yotzei tzava. Now we have asher yotzei tzava la'aruch melchama arbuim all of 40,000. Period. Let's see lamed ches finish of the perek. U'mi'ever la'yardein min haru ruveni v'hagodi. What about Ruven and God v'chatzis shevet menasher b'chol klei tzava melchama? Again, they came out with all the different klei tzva milchama, different expression. Notice, not what we had before on Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamed Aleph would have described that they were experts in milchama b'chol klei milchama. Over here, it says a different expression, b'chol klei tzva milchama. There must be a difference. What difference is, I have no idea, but it's not exactly the same. Ne'ov eshmel 120,000, that's quite a big number. Quite a big number of people came out from these three shvatim combined. Pasuk Lamites, Kol El Anshei Milchama, all of these people are Odrei Maracha. They were Odrei Maracha. So Maracha Belevav Shlem. So again, you have two different interpretations. We have to assume that we have the same translation we had before. Either means who arranged war. And here we have Maracha. Maracha clearly means arrangement. Orchei Maracha, they were in formation. That's the simple interpretation. Or they arranged arrangements. They were in charge of arranging the formation of soldiers. Belev of Shalem, with a full heart. This pasuk goes back on all of the members we've said before, not just the Reuven and Gadi. We're going back now on everyone put together, all of the Shvatim, all 12 Shvatim here appeared. Belev of Shalem, Bo Chevroina, they came to Chevron, Lehamlich Es David al kol Yisrael. The Gam, now here is an important pasuk, Kol Sheiris Yisrael, the remnant. Simply, in a very simple level, this means those who did not show up. This was obviously a very small percentage relative to the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, there were 60,000 people from this Shevet, 120 from Reuben God and Menashe, but besides these people, there were people who obviously could not come. They have to go to work. They have to take care of their children, women, children, and so on and so forth. The Gam called Sheiris Yisrael Lev Echad had one heart lehamlich es David. Okay, we'll see in a few moments. Notice the word Sheiris is spelled without an aleph. You would expect this word to be spelled Sheiris with an aleph. It's missing. We'll come to that in a few moments. Let's just finish up with the pesukim of the parak. David with David for how long? Yamim Shloisha, 3 days celebration. Oichlim b'shoisim, eating and drinking. Ki hechinu lohem achayem. The people of Chevron made preparations. Like today, they have in Parsh Chayesara. The people of Chevron, they provide their tents. It's a city, right? I haven't gone there personally, but I hear from Nachum Siegel. Shame in the aim. He describes what goes on there. He goes every year, right? He goes every year to a Chevron and describes what goes on there. The people of Chevron, they set up, the hospitality was one of a kind. Ki hechinu, if you have a precedent for the hospitality in Chevron. Ki hechinu lohem achim, the brethren prepared for them in preparation for this ceremony, for this coronation. V'gam hakoivim aleihem, now that it was not enough, the people of Chevron cannot provide enough. did not have enough food and drink to provide for all of the guests, so they had to rely upon their neighbors, and the neighbors had to also provide provisions. V'gam hakrayvim aleihem, those that were nearby. Who is near to Chevron? So we don't have a map to go look, but it says here in the pasuk, ad as far as Yisachar uzevulun v'naftali, also they assisted in bringing supplies and food provisions for the people. Mevi'im lechem bread b'chamayim. Now, what were the means of transportation? So we have over here four things: b'chamayim, donkeys; b'gmalim, camels; uva piradim, mules; uva bakar, and cattle. These were the means of transportation to bring the supplies. What exactly did they eat? What was the menu? The menu was machol kemach, flour; develim, pressed figs; vitzimukim, raisins; v'yayin, wine; v'shemen, oil; uvakar, meat; bakar v'tzon, cattle; sheep, larov, in abundance; ki simcha di Yisrael. It was a great joy. Now, what was the joy? This is an incredible pasuk. We'll come to Rashi and we'll come to one moment. Let's just go through the Mitzudos and then the Rashi's in one quick medrash, and we'll tie it up. Let's see pasuk Lamed Ches to the end in the Mitzudos first. B'chlishir, they came there with musical instrument, b'chol clay. All different types of weapons. Asher yotziim b'chem b'tzom b'chem, when they go out to war. Poslam etes, b'leiv, shall be all united. Ki rachei ha-leivav. Af be'es yarchum b'chem, alib m'cholok im lulchem im lachtol. Those people that are weak. Mil ish hayorei v'rach ha-leivav. When you go out to war, you are not fully into it. Avul kol eilu lo ha-yehema. That was not the case. The people here who came to fight, they had conviction, they had confidence that they would succeed in war, and were listing these people they came, believe of Shalom, to fight for David. Kol sheiris Yisrael ha-nishon b'artzem v'leibahu, even those that did not come were loyal. There was no deceit. There was enough food for everyone to eat. The provisions were provided. The brethren from Yisachar, from Zvulun, from Naphtali, they provided. How could the pasuk call the people from Yisachar close to Chevron? They lived along the border. The answer is relative to the people living on the east side of the Yarden. They were considered to be close. So everything in life is relative. Uvabakar, tu'unim al habakar. The first time it says bakar means it was an animal. These animals are used for transportation. I'm wondering if after they use it as transportation, they actually slaughtered it. That's what it seems, right? They have bakar, they're being used as transportation. And then it says they ate the bakar of its own. So they took the jeep and they cut it into pieces and they used it for
scrap metal.
Yeah. So it provided a double purpose. It brought itself, right? The animal brought itself and it also brought other things, and then they slaughtered it and they ate it itself. Yeah, that's what it means exactly. So machal kemach, gam heviu mine machal osemi kemach. They're all different types of cakes, pastries. Kemach here means, in Eretz Yisrael, pastries is a very big thing. You ever notice that?
Yes.
It's a very big thing, all over the place, on the streets. You don't see that in America so much. Okay, there are cake shops, desserts, all these fancy cakes.
They separate cake and bread. Yes. Here you go to a bakery, you buy bread.
Right.
Cake. There they have pastry shops.
Right, it's a whole different world. And they sell in the streets all these fancy pastries. It's a whole different culture. So that really comes from this. Mine kemach. That's what it really means. Mine kemach. They're very big into this. Now, this is a very important part. Rashi says the same thing. Let's emphasize this. What was the simcha? The simcha is we have a king. Isn't that what they wanted? We want a king like all the other nations. We want to be just like all the other nations. Isn't that what they said to Shmuel? The Torah says, "Zayim tasim alach melech." We want a king. Why do we want a king? To be like let's have a representative in the United Nations that we're also a nation. So we have a king. We should rejoice. That was a failure. That, Shmuel said, that will result in failure. You want to have a king like the Torah wants a king. You know why? Here's why you have to rejoice. This is a very powerful Mitzvah and Rashi, the same thing. Simcha Yom Yisrael al Shem Lichu, Melech Maskil, an intelligent king. Maskil in modern Hebrew means intelligent. And Chazal has more lichtekai than just intelligent. It means a wise, sage, right? Maskilim comes, right? Enlightened, right? But it has a bad connotation, maskilim. But melech maskil umutzloch, a king that's intelligent and is successful, ulazeh, here will have you call elalasos mishtev simcha. The simcha was, we have a king that is a chacham, a smart. What's the pasuk in the Koheles? Toiv melech chacham, make a sin of foolishly. Pasukim in Koheles compare a wise king versus a foolish king. That was the ultimate symbol. Let's see Rashi. A few Rashi's here. Pasuk Lamed Ches. Rashi says, why does it say here the word she'iris? Why is it spelled without an aleph? So Rashi says, afal pi shaloi bohu chevron. That even though they didn't come to Chevron, the she'iris here means the remnant of the people that did not arrive. When we say v'gam she'iris Yisrael lo yase avla, we're not discussing people that aren't going anywhere. So there's no need to make a differentiation between the main parts of Klal Yisrael and the remnant, because everyone was really the same. But here we're describing a group of people that did not get on the boat. They did not get on the plane. They did not show up. So She'eris is spelled here with an aleph, without an aleph, to indicate the remnant of Klal Yisrael that did not arrive. Because we listed these large numbers of people who were warriors, kiboyrim, people from the military. Maybe there were other people that came that we're referring to when it says the She'eris. No, we're referring to people that did not come at all. They also were unified in their loyalty to David HaMelech. That's why it's a music lemmer. Afilu she'iris, even the she'iris lo hoya, which was not there. Shelo nishtairu ki ma'at, it was only left over a small amount. Ki kulam bo lechevron b'simcha. So he's giving, and the words of these, some of the rashi are very hard. It could be they're missing words, or it's written in a different style. He seems to be saying that there's another remez in the missing aleph, that only a small number of people did not show up. The numbers presented here represented the vast majority. Now that's a little bit difficult because seemingly the Klai Yisrael was a lot larger than the numbers presented here. But it means, I think I saw this, it could be in the Art Scroll, it means from the people that were expected to arrive. Now there are certain people that you expect to come. They are the community leaders. They are the chashuvim, the dignitaries. From the people that are expected to show up, they all showed up. And the number of people who did not come was so insignificant, it's killing the number, that number did not count. And that's why, another reason why this She'eris is spelled with an aleph, everyone that should have come, came. And the people that did not come, who should have come, was so insignificant, we can overlook it, it's not important.
Now we put the aleph back in.
I don't have the Lama in front of me. Okay, but the Pasuk does not have it.
It could be
that he's just writing it in his description. I don't think he necessarily means to meant to disagree that he had different girsa. I don't think the girsa here is without an aleph, and Rashi makes a point of telling us the aleph is missing. Yeah. Rashi appears to giving two different ideas, either the people that did not come, or the people that did not come were insignificant because those that were supposed to come did come. Pasuk Lamites, Vayusham Mdavi Yom Shleisha, 3 days, V'al Tisma Hechon Laku Kol HaChayel HaZer Kol Kach HaChilu Shliya, Shoye Maspik Lohem. How could it be that all these people that get up the numbers come out to like 200,000 people? How are they going to be enough food to feed all these people 3 days? So the answer is, do not worry, do not wonder. It was prepared by the people of Chevron and even the people of Yisachar. They also brought food, they imported food. Here again is the same idea. See, you may have a new Rav and you make a installation for the new Rav. This is what he's supposed to say. This is what he's supposed to say by the installation of a new Rav. He said that today is a very great simcha. What's the simcha? The simcha is, if it's true, of course, the simcha is that we have a new Rav that is matzliach umaskil. That's the simcha. We have a wise, sage rabbi. Not just we have a rabbi. It's not a kunst to have a rabbi. A kunst is to have a rabbi that's a maskil. I don't mean it like that. You know what I mean? I just a conservative rabbi. I read an article recently in one of these magazines. A person he went to one of these conventions, one of these political conventions, and there were very few Orthodox Jews there, but there were a lot of Reform and conservative Jews and rabbis and leaders. So he was there, and it was in between one of the speakers, one of the presentations, and he took out a Gemara. So comes over to him a conservative rabbi, a conservative Reform rabbi, and says, "Oh, it's good to see that there are still people that know how to use their time wisely and not to waste time and to learn a daf Gemara in between the presentation." And this was a reform woman rabbi. So the rabbi says to himself, "They don't make maskilim like they used to." The maskil was giving, "Yashakarach Baruch Hashem, you're learning a daf Gemara, you're not wasting your time." Things have changed quite a bit. Okay, so that is a very beautiful idea. The Melech Maskil Matzliach. I shouldn't forget this pasuk. Ki Simcha. That's the real Simcha. When you have a leader, you have a Rav, you have someone you can look up to. That's a Chacham, not a Tipish. A lot of Tipshim out there. You have to have someone that's Matzliach. One of the very quick Medrash, a very important Medrash. I don't know the significance of this Medrash, but we have over here a contrast between Naftali and Yisachar. In these two Pesukim, pasuk Lamed Hey, we mentioned Naftali, and the numbers are quite large. There are 38,000. And when it comes to Shevet Yisachar, Yisachar only has 200 people. And we know 200, we discussed this culture conflict, this, the difference in approach of 200 means, I mean, everyone followed, but it does, all it says is there were 200. No, I take that back. I'm sorry. The issue is the Sarin. That's the issue. I'm sorry. I didn't understand until this moment. There were 1,000 Sarim to Shevet Naftali. Look what it says in Pasuk Lamed Hey. Naftali, there was Sarim Olef, 1,000 leaders. And who was under them? Under them was 37,000, for a grand total of 38,000. Yisachar, we don't know how many people actually came, but we do know that there were 200 leaders. We don't call them Sarim, we have a different term. Yisachar had a different system, a different culture, and they had 200. So what's going on? Why did Yisachar have 200 leaders? And why did Zebulun have 1,000 leaders? So the Medrash Shir HaShirim says, I don't know what the deeper meaning of this is and what the details, the background is, that Shevet Naftali learned Torah with Yisurim, with difficulty. It wasn't easy for them. Why doesn't say? Could be it's because they had to relocate. They had to be Goyla, L'mokom Torah. They did not have yeshivas in their territory. They had to go to Shevet Levi, to Shevet Yisachar. They had a dorm. The boys had to dorm to learn Torah. Whereas Yisachar, they didn't have to dorm. They had the yeshiva around the corner. It was easy. When you learn Torah b'Yisurim, then the reward is that much greater than when learning Torah is easy. So even though we're so accustomed to this concept that Yisachar were the most outstanding Talmidei Chachamim, but this Medrash in Shir HaShirim makes it very clear that Yisachar did not have to suffer in their learning. And that's why they only had here 200 leaders. But Naftali, you had to suffer in their learning Torah, was zochah to 1,000 leaders. Let me read you a few of the words. It's an incredible medrash. Rabbi Chiya Bereid, Rabbi Abba Diyofay Omar, Haloi Mei Torah B'tzar, if you learn Torah in pain, Noitel Elef, you'll receive 1,000 times reward. Shaloi B'tzar, but if you learn Torah without pain, Mosayim, you'll receive 200 times reward. Noitel B'scharai, Mimiat Lomat, how do you know this? Where do you get these numbers from? Look at Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Look at the difference between the Roshim of Naphtali and Pasuk Lamed Hey and the Roshim of Yisachar. Mishifta shall Yisachar, Mishifta shall Naphtali. Shifta shall Naphtali, Ayideh shall Yoyiskim Bolemim Torah B'Tzar. Doesn't say though, I don't know what the Tzar is. I have no idea. They learned Torah B'Tzar. No Luschor Elef, 1,000. Hadod Chsef, Ume Naphtali, Sodim Olef. Avol shift a shell yisachar al yidei shell yilim living entire shalei b'tzar now lusach mosayim. They only had 200. Okay, that's a very fascinating idea.
It means that I should walk here to take in the car.
No, we have to know what it means. Obviously, what it means is tzar is not something you ask for. Obviously, it means
not pain. It's difficult.
Whatever it means, it means whatever it means. It's you make the extra effort. Freezing cold winter morning, you go out, even though your coat is not warm enough, but you know you have to go there to the shul, you have to go learn. Whatever it means, every situation, every person is different, but the concept is always true. Okay, let's... Yeah.
One question here. They speak of festivity.
Yes.
But there's a total no mention of any type of religious service.
That's what I told. That's exactly what we spoke about. You hear what we spoke about this last week. Exactly the point I made last week. There is no mention of anointment. There is no mention of anything religious. Was this a Sudas Mitzvah? I asked that question. Was this called the Sudas Mitzvah? They all got together. These 200,000 people, they cut with all this food. Is it a Sudas Mitzvah? I don't know the answer. Or is it just a ceremony? Ceremony is also something in Klal Yisrael. So that's a very tough question. I do not know the answer.